Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 10th, 2012 Carborough Board of Aldermen meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is a work session for the board, so we do not normally take petitions from the public at our work sessions. The first item on our agenda is a resolution recognizing the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library. Why don't y'all come up to the podium with me?
The other round.
You weren't here before.
Let me read it.
It's all of us.
Come on, stand right here. Cameras are set up well. Oh, actually, one of the cameras is down. Stand over there. Stand in front of my seat. One of the cameras is down. All right. Whereas for 24 years, the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library have been working towards the establishment of a freestanding, full-service library serving residents of the Carborough and Southwest Orange County area. And whereas they have continued to raise funds for the library through regular book sales and other special events. And whereas for 15 years, the Friends have sponsored the community dinner at the McDougall School that fosters fellowship and understanding among our diverse population. And whereas they have continued to sponsor the Promise in Public Librarianship Scholarship for a graduate student at UNC School of Library and Information Science, who contributes their time and knowledge to the Carborough Branch Library. And whereas they have annually sponsored the Mary Frances Eldridge Youth Scholarship, which is given to a graduating Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools student in honor of a former board member. And whereas in 2002, the Friends received the Francis B. Reed Award for their ongoing library art program, which has shown close to 1,500 artists since the Carborough Library opened in 1995. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town of Carborough Board of Aldermen do hereby recognize and acknowledge the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library 2011 Francis B. Reed Award winner for their continued advocacy to improve library service for all Orange County residents.
I'd like to move the resolution with one modification. I would like to say that we hereby acknowledge and celebrate the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library.
All right, that sounds like an excellent amendment. Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations
Thank you.
To you all.
And,
thank you for all that you do for our community.
And if you all will come back and stand here during selected public hearings,
the human shield.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for all.
Oh, yeah. All right. Also, before we begin our agenda proper, I just wanted to recognize, I haven't seen a lot in the media about this yet, relatively, I think it was news just yesterday.
Today.
That a former member of our board, former Carborough Alderman Jay Bryan, has been appointed as our newest district court judge by the governor. So I want to say congratulations to Jay.
And he's our poet laureate.
That's true. And our sitting Carborough public poet laureate.
That's what pushed me over the top.
He must have been. He's the only poet laureate in the running.
Almost certainly. All right. Congratulations to Jay. Now we are on our consent agenda. Mr. Manager?
Item number one is approval of minutes of previous meetings. Item number two is a request to set a public hearing for 601 West Main Street Looking Glass Cafe conditional use permit. Item number three is a budget amendment for seizure funds and CD memorabilia show.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. All right. And that brings us to item C1, a consideration of request from Orange County Board of Elections to host 2012 early voting at Town Hall. Mr. Manager?
This item is to allow the Board of Aldermen to consider the request from the Orange County Board of Elections to hold early voting at Town Hall because it does require the rescheduling or canceling of several Board of Aldermen and Advisory Board meetings. We wanted to give the Board a chance to discuss at this time.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that... this May, we're dealing with a very, very important item on the ballot, and that is the constitutional amendment based on hate. I think a lot of people in Carrboro will be voting against that amendment. So the easier we can make it for them to come and cast their vote, a little inconvenience on our part will be well worth it. So I think we go with the whole 4 weeks and really encourage people to vote because we need all the good guys out there to come out and speak up for love.
I have one question for you.
Sure.
As you're in charge with finding relocation, do you have any sense of how tough that might be? Schedule 4 meetings, and they, of course, all won't necessarily be in the same place.
As of right now, I've been able to get in touch with Orange County and Owosa. Owosa is booked for 2 of the dates. We are penciled in for 1 of them. Off the top of my head, I can't remember which one. Orange County, I'm verifying the fee charge right now, and they're also available for 1 day. So we're going to have 1 day that won't be at Orange County and won't be at Owosa.
If we met only with audio, it would be worth the sacrifice.
Lydia and then Sammy.
Yeah, I know. I think, with Dan, you had inquired when we had saw some circulation about perhaps maybe looking at... So we maybe would miss just one of those. Maybe was it the April 17th, but still have the April 24th and May 1st Tuesdays.
Right, so after the 17th, or possibly even after the April 18th, April 19th advisory board meetings.
Well, the wrapper of the April 17th, our meeting. So we would miss 2 to 3 days of early voting, I guess, possibly. I certainly want to make voting as accessible to everyone as possible. We also, one of the dates that's not identified on here is May 8th itself, which I guess we won't meet because we normally don't meet on election day, right? So in order not to disrupt our meetings for what would end up being, you know, 4 meetings in a row, I think I would be satisfied with Dan's suggestion that we start on the 18th. And that would still give lots of early voting time.
So the 18th is a Thursday?
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah, because as it is, we'll still miss. That'll still be 3 meetings in a row. 1 will miss, and then 2 will have to reload.
So that's just 2 days.
That'll be 2.
Okay, and people, if they're really anxious to vote, can vote in Chapel Hill at it's still in University Square now, right?
I'm not sure.
They
haven't said it.
For sure, the senior, well, almost certainly the senior center, okay, and at Hillsborough.
Yeah, but if it's just 2 days, I think that would.
Right, that seems like a happy
good compromise.
I was just wanting us to check in to see how much it costs. I have no sense of how much the audio recording equipment would cost for us at home, but to see kind of where the break-even point is, because depending on how often we have these situations where we need to record it with audio, there may make sense for us to buy it instead of renting it. So if that could.
The cost isn't for the rental of audio equipment, it's for the equipment and the labor from our contractor to do the actual audio recording and make it, put it into a format that we can stream on the website.
And I also like the second Jackie's point on the importance of having this be early voting, but I'd also supplement it with encouraging people, a lot of people don't know, but President Obama has a challenger. His name is Darcy Richardson, and he happens to be pretty progressive. So I'd encourage everyone to check him out and consider that we do have an alternative. Thank you.
All right. So is there a motion to start early voting at this site on the 18th? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, not passed unanimously. All right, item C2, a discussion of Orange County Library siting criteria.
This item is to lobby Board of Aldermen to build consensus on
criteria for an Orange County branch library, Southwest Orange County branch library. Chris McGuire, planning director, has a short presentation.
Everyone.
Hey, Chris.
Happy New Year. So you all met in October with the Board of County Commissioners to discuss a proposal they had had staff develop for some siting criteria for the Southwest branch of the Orange County Library. And in later that month, the Chair Pelissier sent a thank you letter and also noted in the letter that the commissioners would continue their discussion of the criteria after they'd heard from you. And it was pointed out that that some of the things you might want to discuss were the criteria themselves, but also the question of possible modifications to the zoning framework in Carborough in light of a cost analysis that their staff had prepared comparing what it takes to get a zoning compliance permit in Orange County for a library compared to the scenario that they looked at, which was a conditional use permit in town. A zoning compliance permit in the southwestern portion of Orange County outside of our jurisdiction. So the packet we provided to you does have the minutes of that meeting, the siting criteria, some information about the siting criteria and agenda, and so forth, the follow-up emails between Board of Aldermen and members of the Orange County staff following up on questions from the discussion, and then a staff memo looking at zoning issues in town. Just a summary of the siting criteria. I'm not an expert on them, but I just sat at that meeting and reviewed the materials that the county prepared. So they did base their criteria on nationally established guidelines for siting libraries, and the staff then identified guiding principles, which were that the library would provide optimal service to residents, that there would be countywide equity in the way library services are provided, and then cost considerations for development and acquisition of property. They proposed a three-phase siting criteria strategy that was essentially a scoring method to rapidly assess properties in three different phases. The first was based on visibility and long-term functionality of a site and accessibility of a site to users. The second was centrality and direct benefits, the connection between the site and whether or not they should sort of co-locate libraries near other things. Site conditions and sustainability, long-term use, expected use of the library and how it would play out over time, and then, again, reasonable cost for acquisition and development. And the third was a critique of the sites by stakeholders, the public and others, and considering various types of acquisition options in terms of leasing or purchasing the property, and then the possibility and the benefits of partnering to develop a site. The way the scoring works, or the siting criteria works, is this rapid assessment method to score properties and whether they fall into high, medium, or low categories in each area. And then if the score turns out high or fairly well, I guess if they were comparing a number of sites, then it would be forwarded to the county commissioners for further consideration. That's an assessment that would be done by the staff in Orange County. And if there was available funding, then the commissioners could then turn the project further over to staff to go forward with the development-related processes, further due diligence, and so forth. That presentation the staff did in Orange County also outlined the major development steps they would see following that rapid assessment. These are the numbers from the presentation the staff prepared in Orange County, just looking at approximately 18 to 22,000 square foot facility, and you can just see how the space breaks down and the projected space breaks down in a library. So the biggest, the largest amount of area would be committed to collections, public seating, and what they call special use, and then staff areas. The second largest area is the common area, restrooms, aisles, building systems, portions of the building. But then, in declining order, staff areas, public meeting space, and the area devoted to public computers. So in Carborough, libraries fall into use classification 5.300, which is, sorry.
Can we go back to that slide?
Sure.
I don't know if this is the time to get into that or not, but as we're changing how we use books and the form that books come in, I think from having vast library shelves filled with books. That's not something that I want, but I know that, that's happening. So I wonder if 15 years from now, if this distribution of space wouldn't look very different than it does right now, and if that would impact what we're looking for in a facility.
Or even 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Mark, how would we express that concern about the criteria? Because Jackie's exactly right. In this paper, it cites a 1998 study, which is 14 years old. It precedes iTouch. It precedes iPads. I'm in a school, and our library in the last 6 years has had a tremendous transition to the lending out of iTouch and iPads that have libraries in them,
mm-hmm.
libraries of books in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does not seem appropriate that they hold us to a 1998 standard. Where in our criteria report back do we make known that
can
concern?
We, can we hold this discussion until after Chris is done? Because I kind of want to do the presentation.
Sure.
I think the question, the question is worth considering how we interject that point into it. Because what we were asked about is citing criteria,
mm-hmm.
which that is not, but it's still it's relevant to citing because how big of a facility you really need is kind of one of the questions. But anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. But it's not in there. That's not really. They do have a defeat steps obsolescence as one of their, I think that's one of the considerations in, to some degree that they've
where
tried
is that?
To fit into. Under the site conditions, allowances, and constraints
right.
in the phase two.
Kind of buried.
I
think that operationally sustainable and defeats obsolescence. Just reflecting on the comments that were made at the meeting, that may have been an area where they're trying to. And that's about citing it and thinking about co-location and how it fits with other uses and sort of that long-term viability of a location,
mm-hmm.
I believe. But I think it would probably be good to comment on it and ask for how that's being considered and built into the criteria. So the use is classified as 5.3, which is institutional and cultural uses. There are two specific categories that apply to libraries. 5.310 is a library that's located within a building designed and previously occupied as a residence or a building having a gross floor area not over 3,500 square feet. And then the 5.320 uses, which are these uses located in any permissible structure, so not size-limited or structurally or use-limited previously. The permit requirements for these two types of uses vary. Generally speaking, the smaller ones are allowed in nearly all of the zoning districts in town, and the larger spaces, or the ones that are not restricted, are more limited and principally allowed only in non-residential zoning districts.
So in the latter case, what level of permitting would be required? Is that zoning compliance, or is that NSUP?
It varies. I can put a table up here on the overhead that shows the permits required.
Okay. Yeah, that would help.
And this is in contrast to, and it's on.
Yep, that wouldn't help.
More readable. So
we
these
have
are the
it
5.
On attachment F1.
Yes, this is attachment F1 in the packet, and. So in the residential zoning districts, R2, et cetera, these are the small, you asked about the larger uses, actually, didn't you?
Yes.
Let me skip to that. So the smaller ones. Question? Okay, so the 5.320 uses are shown here.
Could you skip to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are shown here, and the zoning districts they're permissible in. The way our ordinance is set up for most of the commercial districts, it's the lot, depending on the lot size, the permit may be of sort of lesser you know, lower scrutiny, the zoning permit versus a higher level permit. So in the B1C, the B1G, the M1, the CT, and the OA, you can have a library with a zoning permit if the property is less than 2 acres.
What is B5?
B5 is watershed commercial. And then a special use permit for properties in lots in excess of 2 acres. The B2 is the breakpoint is a lot of 1 acre in size. So if it's less 1 acre or less in size, it's a zoning permit. And then above that, it's a conditional use permit, B4 special use permit, and then B5 and O zones a conditional use permit.
Thank you.
These requirements do contrast with the other educational uses like churches and elementary and secondary schools. Both of those types of uses, or all three of them, sort of, are allowed in all of the residential zoning districts with special or conditional use permits in most cases, and in some cases a zoning permit. So those, just in terms of sort of thinking about similar intensity of uses, that is a difference within this same 5.300 category of land uses. Current options for moving forward to site a library in Carborough are where the uses are allowed. Thank you very much. Depending on the permit that's required to submit an application, or if it's a special use or conditional use permit in the zoning district where it's allowed, to initiate the concept plan review process and then submit an application and go through the review and approval process. Another option is to seek modification of an existing permit to add this use to another site, to a site where other activities are currently underway. Where the uses are not allowed by the zoning, of course, it is possible under our regulations to submit a request to change the zoning, and there are several different ways that someone could go about doing that. Of course, they could seek general use rezoning to a district that would allow the use with some type of permit, for example, to one of the commercial zones where the larger libraries are permitted. Someone could request a condition, or an entity like the county could request, as they did with the site on Hillsborough Road, they could request conditional zoning to the B2 or the B1G district, since those two conditional zones both allow libraries with different types of permits. Conditional use rezoning is a possibility for almost all of the commercial zones we have in town, except for the B5. Create some new type of request to the creation of some type of new zoning district for libraries, perhaps an overlay zone that identifies some sites as suitable, so proactively identifies some sites or areas as suitable because of some criteria that the town might, and this is the type of activity the town might initiate, for example, identifying criteria about proximity to certain types of other uses, housing or commercial transportation options or something like that. There is a public facilities district defined in the ordinance currently. We touched on this very briefly back in the spring last year when you were looking at the library rezoning request. And the public facilities district is a district that is only intended to support public facilities that are owned and operated by an entity such as the town, the county, the state, or the federal government. There aren't any standards for that zoning district, and none of those districts have been mapped in town. So those things would have to be done to use that particular approach. And then the final strategy is to prepare some kind of text amendment or put in place a text amendment to specifically define public libraries more closely in the 5.3 use classification, and then change the parameters for where that use is allowed, so, such as perhaps make it similar to the churches and elementary and secondary schools in its availability or its permissibility within a wider range of zones, like residential areas, for example. And, of course, with all of these approaches, except for the conditional use zoning option, after one of these steps was taken, it would still be necessary to obtain a permit for the use itself. So we did provide a resolution, just a framework for the board to comment on, if you so choose, on the library siting criteria that have been proposed, on zoning options, described, and then any possible modifications to our zoning procedures to facilitate siting a larger public library, as is noted in the commissioner's letter.
Lydia.
I'd like to take just a minute, Trish, and ask you a couple of questions about these zoning options.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you answered a couple of them in your presentation here, but the uses, the type of zoning that we have or whatever mechanism we have that allows educational institutional uses to schools and churches, so that's something that we in our ordinances have, right? It's not something from state statute or whatever. It's something we chose to do a long time ago.
Yes.
Presumably to make, I don't want to say to make it easier, but maybe kind of to open up the options of areas where schools or churches could locate. Is that really the reason for that?
I would guess it is. I mean, I would think it was about creating flexibility and, mm-hmm. you know, and being able to.
Okay. And just
so that those uses could take place, you know,
right.
Expecting that there would be perhaps multiple opportunities for them in town.
And the other question I have is about the really about the overlay, the library zoning district, the overlay.
Mm-hmm.
If I heard you right, what that would involve would be our board, our staff. Identifying prospective sites that we would want to have be available for possible future library sites, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how would that ebb and flow? You know, how would those be identified? Would it is it on a case by case basis, or is it initially we discover several and we go ahead and identify them from the get go, and then if one of those were to move forward, then they would dovetail into those criteria that the county would have. Is that correct?
Well, it may be more of a partnership, I mean, kind of approach, just in light of the effort and time. But
mm-hmm.
I think that if and I suspect that the most efficient way to go would be to work with the county to identify some of those sites and to kind of agree upon the criteria that we would want to use to create that overlay, to identify what the preferred locations would be. So some more specific criteria than perhaps are spelled out in the, I mean, than are spelled out in the criteria that you have.
And something like that would still be a permit required.
Yes.
And so something like that would eliminate perhaps some of the costs we saw in these reports in October, but you know certainly not all of them. But it would reduce the cost somewhat if it were identified, if these spot locations were identified.
I think there'd be some cost. I mean, we didn't do a full assessment of the dollars values that the county used in saying that the cost for their conditional use permit for the cost versus the cost for a zoning compliance permit. I mean, they used information that they obtained from the work on Morris Grove.
Yeah.
So, as an example, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they factored it down based on. I mean, I would guess they factored it down based on the size of the project.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there would be some cost reductions
mm-hmm.
certainly because of some of that due diligence. I think would have been taken care of in advance.
That's all I have right now.
So one of the goals here is to reduce the cost and probably the time it takes to go through the process because it's going to be sited in the town. But the neighborhood example, for if it were to be like churches and schools and neighborhoods, those all require special or conditional use permits. So if it's permitting that cost, then would that necessarily address the issue at hand, or is that just a tool to expand our options for where to site the library?
Well, as I said, we didn't do a full assessment of the comparison of the costs. So that is to say, you know, in town, there are going to be standards that apply to a development of the size of a library and type of a library that aren't going to be that different for at the zoning permit level versus the conditional use permit level, so the requirements aren't that different. The procedural requirements are different, but the actual ordinance compliance, you know, provisions are not different. So I don't exactly know.
If it's a shorter procedure, then kind of the interest costs and things like that.
There are some holding costs and carrying costs that along the way. That is true for the different process. So
it does reduce the cost and time. And as follow-up to that, the site that's next to the MLK Park, that's residential. And so we would basically, if we were to allow it in those residential areas, cut out the whole process through which the county would petition us to allow. Okay, got it.
That's correct.
And I guess it depends on exactly what kind of procedural changes, which specific procedural changes you're talking about. But for example, just to pick that just to look at that site, I'm sure that people who live nearby there, some people who live nearby there might view such a location very favorably, and others might have a lot of concerns, and others might view it favorably and have a lot of concerns. So, I guess the point is, whether the Board of Aldermen is the board that would hear about those concerns and reservations, or whether we would, be essentially delegating that responsibility to our staff.
I think that it would be unwise of us to get in a position where we were delegating that responsibility. The siting of a library will be a big deal, and any hint or suspicion that public input is being somehow limited will only in the long run serve to will be counterproductive. So I think whatever process we choose, it must be one where the public is giving input to the Board of Aldermen, and the Board of Aldermen is making the final decision, or we will we'll set ourselves up for some unhappy results.
Right. And just to contextualize what we're considering here, I looked at the county's estimates for what it would cost. The estimate is like $600,000 for acquisition of the property and another $5 million for the library itself. And the estimates of what the siting in Carrboro is $45,000 over that $5,600,000 estimate that the county has. So given the size of what this project is, $45,000 is not that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 0.9% or something. Yeah.
So let me add to Jackie's point that I think it's also problematic if we were looking at one of the strategies where we tried to pre-identify certain residential locations, because basically what we'd be getting, whether through the public facilities overlay or library overlay, because what we're getting into is hypothetically having many, many citizens come here and be concerned that we have to deal with their very specific concerns on those sites, that, there's no knowledge that a library would, in fact, ever go there. So I think we really need to be in a position where, the county's going to come in with a site, as they did last time, and that we have to consider the rezoning if it's a residential district.
So...
Jackie, go ahead.
Now, perhaps what we might want to do is, we could make some matrices and stuff, but we could also have ideas for places where would be good places. At the same time, not wanting to get into the scenario Dan just described of ruffling feathers with no reason, but I think each of us probably has in mind some places that we think would be good places. I like the idea of co-location with public needs. For instance, you could have a ground floor big downtown parking area with two floors above it being the library, and kind of serve both parking and library needs simultaneously. But whatever we come up with, I want us to be able to be creative and come up with ideas like that.
Mark, I think my concern with the criteria, the way it's laid out, it seems to be framed to exclude a downtown library. And so I'm concerned that however we want to respond to this criteria, we open the door to discussing the viability of a downtown library with a different space and maybe not one that is purchased, because that $600,000 is looking at purchase, and it's looking at a design that's more suburban than downtown.
Well, I share your concern about that, and I think, you know, to get, and now we're sort of transitioning from discussing the kind of development approval aspects of this, or development approval procedure aspects of it, into the criteria themselves. And I think, you know, one of the comments that I would like to see us submit is that, you know, right now, I guess it says three-phase siting criteria. Phase one of the considerations is accessibility, access for pedestrian vehicles, public transit, ? You know, first of all, I think it ought to, I just think that criteria ought to be a lot more affirmatively stated. You know, the library, wherever it goes, needs to have excellent access to existing public transportation routes. It ought to be highly walkable and highly bikeable. And I think, I guess, technically that falls within the category of vehicles as they described. But I think talking about the bikeability of it specifically in the document would be good.
Yeah, I was thinking very specifically about that point. And I think for there to be a criteria that says the library must be on a Chapel Hill transit route that serves downtown Carrboro, then, you know, that, of course, applies to any location in downtown Carrboro, but it kind of speaks very directly to the transit aspect of that, and it also kind of ensures in, you know, maybe not as a narrower sense as we all might like, but in the sense that I think is the minimum that we would want the county to agree to. That's my belief, is that, you know, there, we might say, oh, we think it has to be downtown, and they might not agree with that, and we wrangle about that and never come to agreement. I think that's a position we could be pretty firm on and expect them to understand that it should have transit service, and that transit service should connect to downtown Carrboro, where other routes cross it, and the bulk of the population has better access via transit. Does that make sense?
It does. I think you're definitely wording it just a little more strongly than I was, but it gets to, I think we share the same thought about it. The other thing that I would point out that's different between what you said and what I said is I think the word existing is key. When the county built the Southern Human Services Center, which is primarily serves people who do not have cars,
right. They
built it far from any existing public transportation line, and all of us as taxpayers picked up the tab in Chapel Hill and Carrboro for the cost of extending the bus line to serve Southern Human Services Center, which I think was not right. But anyway, point being, existing public transportation routes.
Yeah, I think that's key. Because you know, we're challenged to maintain the transit routes we have for the foreseeable future.
And let us also point out that if where they build it is in Carrboro and new line has to be extended in order to reach it, then we will be expected to pay the entire first year cost.
That's right.
I have, is is it on that, or I have another criterion?
It's another one with the criteria with phase one, but maybe you're going
to
hit it.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, I guess it's under guiding principles. It says something about equitable service throughout the county, and I think that's a valid principle. But I think it's really, I believe it's really important that this library, wherever it's built, have outstanding access for low-income children and their parents. And, you know, that has been so central to the argument for why Carrboro is a sensible place to build a library, that it really ought to be one of the criteria that the county commissioners take into account.
Low-income children who may not have Kindles.
Well, may not have Kindles and may not have parents who can drive them places.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, point just being that, you know, frankly, near downtown Carrboro is where the largest concentration of low-income families are in Orange County. And
mm-hmm. I think elderly, too, without transportation. And
sure.
There's still some elderly without Kindles.
The way gas prices are going, we're all going to be without
Kindles. We're all going to be elderly by the time the library's open. So
Mark, I'm just going to ask a process.
Not Sandy.
I'm just going to ask a process time. Question. So are we going through the each of the slides, the guiding principles, and adding comment? Because we're kind of
going catch as catch.
Yeah, I know, but you know, if we do that in order, then we can all weigh in on comments in sequence. Would that be helpful?
Well, I was just trying that.
I don't know if we need.
I don't feel the need to do that personally, but if you.
Well, because for example, on the guiding principles, the first slide, you know, it talks about site to provide optimal service to the highest number of residents in the entire system service area. So, you know, I mean, that says one thing to me. I don't know what it's saying to the commissioners that doesn't get to the point that was just made. I mean, I think if we wanted to insert, you know, a bullet point there.
They should build it on the UNC campus if that's what they want to do.
But I mean that, you know, if we want to say, well, look, you know, this is a densely populated area with a high concentration of low wealth residents, that would be where.
I was just trying to respond to the question they asked, which is what criteria should we apply? So
yes.
Those are, you know, walkability, bikeability, being on existing public transportation route, access for low-income children and families mm-hmm. are criteria. I don't know where they ought to go in this framework. Actually,
I don't like the framework.
The framework, actually, there's a lot of stuff here that's not exactly criteria in my opinion.
Mark, I would add the low income under accessibility, because that's really what we're talking about, is access
yes.
to low income
yes.
households.
Yes.
Well, that would be fine with me, but I just
well,
think
what,
that
whatever,
we need
the
to. I think they're going to work with this framework. I think if we put our comments in this framework, they'll be able to take it and run with it.
And I wanted to talk just a second about their criteria of visibility. And I, and the reason I say this is, like in my hometown, we have a library that's heavily, heavily used, and it's on an off street that kind of goes off the main street. There's a sidewalk back to it, a bike path back to it. It may not be visually visible, but people find the library. It's not like a commercial business that you need to. So in terms of opening up possible sites, it might be limiting to suggest that it has to be visible.
Well, and the visibility doesn't even speak to their recommendation of the Hillsborough site.
Another reason that's
why.
Let's not go there. But the point is, it defies what they were originally working with. So to me, you know, visibility should not be.
Right. We don't have to go farther than Chapel Hill to see that
exactly.
the library can
right.
succeed with that.
I worry that this matrix is a. May be as much of a hindrance in addressing what we're looking for as it is a help.
Yeah, I mean, I think one just to.
Because we're just responding instead of creating.
Well, we can create while we respond.
One more response is in that visibility part. The traffic count that meets or exceeds the average traffic counts of a major thoroughfare in a community.
Where is that?
Seems like it would cut it down to half of the major thoroughfares in the community. In phase one, visibility.
I'm looking at the slideshow.
Yeah.
Where is that?
What part of it? Turn that page over for a second.
Page three. That
presumes an auto-centric community.
Thank you.
Attachment G. Page three.
So that means that cuts out half of major thoroughfares. And when you consider a town in Carborough, we've got like three or four major thoroughfares.
And it's also just cars, Sammy. Okay. You know, it's just people that are driving by.
Yeah, I would strike that whole visibility section because really, I mean, that thing about traffic counts, the accessibility point speaks to that.
Right.
I mean, the traffic count is a way of trying to get to who has access to the library.
Right. And a lot of those people aren't.
And we already have access for pedestrians, access for vehicles, access for existing Capitol Hill Transit serving downtown Carver.
Well, and like, you know, I mean, there are streets that. There are streets that where the traffic count meets or exceeds the average, but it's already too high. I mean, like SD Drive extension would meet or exceed the average, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it would be desirable to put it there.
Right, there's some of those that just don't qualify.
Another problem I have with their framework is putting cost and availability down in phase two. And I think if they really know for a fact that $600,000 is their budget or whatever the budget is, you know, I talked about this at the meeting, that ought to be the number one criteria. I mean, we shouldn't waste any time looking at sites that are more expensive than they can buy. Unless the county wants to communicate some flexibility or that, you know, if it was a really super duper site, we'd spend more. But, I don't know what that would be. So I think that's important that they need to lead with that number.
Well, in the last 2 years, they've held to that number as well. I mean, several people have approached them and had conversations with them, but they've held to that number. And that's been the deal breaker.
Well, and also, I brought this up at our joint meeting. You know, it seems like one of the most important parts is like the very last step, and that's getting input from everyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it seems, especially since there's so much cost involved, and as Dan said, as would be in phase two in terms of some of the studies and assessments they had to do before it then came before the people and the officials. Those somehow need to be flipped, if not just to save money.
Yeah, it should certainly be before all the technical assessments that are in phase two.
Right.
Because those take time and money, and they could be doing those while getting input.
I mean, I'd flip phase three and phase two, honestly.
Phase three, really, because setting a library is much more of a political and social act than it is a technical act. The technical comes after the political and the social, because if it doesn't, it's just going to implode, as we've learned.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, and the biggest concern commissioners had last spring was the feedback from community. They really, in fact, one of the reasons they took a position of a very defensive position was because they were shocked and saddened by the response of community. They didn't understand how folks in the Carborough area viewed what was occurring. And if the citizens were more involved up front, maybe that wouldn't happen.
And if you look at what they have under phase three for community preference, what's missing from that list? Citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The citizens of Carborough. That's not even
Well, input from a broad cross-section of the area to be certain, I guess, if they choose a Carver site.
Well, and it says stakeholders, but it doesn't,
it almost seems to say we're not going to listen to the neighbors, but...
Mark, I have a suggestion, and this is not meant to curtail the conversation, but I'm hearing every one of us agreeing on every point anyone's making, and I think harder than us articulating our points and agreeing on them is going to be redoing this document, and maybe...
I don't think we should try to.
Okay, well, I was going to suggest that maybe two of us, or at the most three, could, like, go have coffee and work the ideas into a reframed matrix or whatever, and then bring it back to us, you know, next month or something.
I'll help, but no matrix.
Well, then Randy can't be involved.
Or a list.
So I'll work
with you
on that.
We can do a list.
Randy, you can do it without a matrix, right?
I can do without a matrix. My problem is that I think the county wants it in this form.
No, that's okay. Why don't the three of us come up with some criteria that we think represent what our community wants in a library, and we'll bring it back to everybody else for their additions and subtractions.
Okay. So we can get notes from Kathy on the points of this discussion, then we can set up a time to meet.
And we'll get input from the front row.
I think, too, you know, as part of that, we need to be thinking about, even once we kind of give our preferred timeline, still, this, what's going to be the mechanism then for helping the county figure out or channeling prospective sites to them in a way that... it's transparent, but it also just makes sense, so they don't, you know, just waste their time, right, like going after sites that we may know or a community might just rule out immediately.
Let's see what the criteria that we all come up with. I think each and every person at this table has some ideas of sites that we think would be perfect,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to, you know, prematurely throw things out.
And, I mean, going back to the community preference thing, if there was a process through which to have it be not just us at this table, but have the community at large be helping in identifying or be part of the process of identifying spaces, I think that would start on the right foot to have the required involvement so that it won't blow up like it did.
Well, even more than the spaces is identifying the spaces is the kind of spaces, getting back to what Jackie and I were saying earlier, I just don't think the county realizes that folks in around Carver are not looking for the quote-unquote suburban model necessarily, that there's, you know, a library could be a storefront, you know, it really doesn't have to be this 22,000 square foot, one story
brick building.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where I think having citizen input is important, because I think that they have this idea that what is in their mind is what people want, and not what people find would be the most, you know, useful for them.
But, you know, they're also going to hear from the people, and I'm forgetting the name of the group that's involved with the animal experiment facility and fought the airport out in Bingham Township. You know, I'm talking about Laura Streitfeld and whoever else, right? They're going to hear from... Preserve Orange or something like that. They're going to hear from them who are going to say, we need a library we can drive to. Yeah, so there is going to be, you know, the commissioners are going to weigh that factor, and that we need to be prepared to, you know, to address that, you know, even our most urban site that we might propose, we have to be able to say, well, here's how people who aren't on the transit line can get to this site.
How about create a transit line?
What's that?
Create a transit line.
Or they could go ahead and approve the half-cent sales tax, and we could Anyway.
But the point is not whether or not we're proposing, necessarily, a downtown site. But we want to really open up the process because right now this document really constrains it so that it almost can't be downtown. It makes it very difficult for it to be downtown.
That's right. And so we'll restate those criteria. So that's
great. We'll meet downtown and come up with some good criteria.
And you can walk and Randy and I'll drive.
Carpool, hopefully.
Yeah.
Always.
Hitchhike.
Yeah. All right. I think that's an excellent suggestion. Is there...
I made the motion and Jackie seconded.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Matter passed unanimously. Thank you guys for helping out with that. Gals and guys.
Thanks, Drew.
Sure.
Thanks, sir.
You're very welcome.
And friends of the library, you've all seen these criteria, so if you have input, email any of the three of us.
Now is the time for an email. Before we go into closed session, let me ask a question. I think there's been some email kicked around about the subject of resolution, bringing forward a resolution similar to the one that I think the city of Los Angeles...
I sent a resolution last week to Kathy and asked her to put it in our packet.
That'll be for... Okay, so we're going to consider that on the 17th. Yeah. All right, that's exactly what I wanted to know.
The move to amend.
Yeah.
And by the way, Chapel Hill approved something along those lines last night.
To thunderous applause, I'm sure.
Yes, given the audience. The only thunderous applause. I think they got someone.
Not the only thunderous thing, but... Okay. All right. Is there? We have two personnel items to discuss. Is there a motion to go into closed session and discuss two personnel items?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, not passing unanimously. If you all will excuse us.
If somebody could...